Bugs bugging you? Plants looking puny? Water bills too high? Well, you found the place to get the answers. It's Dirt Doctor Radio with the Dirt Doctor himself. Here he is, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number is 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. Our website is dirtdoctor.com. The Organic Club of America is explained right there on the homepage. That's our membership area. The benefits include seminars, answers on a priority basis, special offers and seeds from Howard's garden, and also from Bob Webster's garden, too. Bob has given us some terrific seed, shishito peppers and jicama. I talked him into planting jicama. He didn't know you could grow jicama in San Antonio, and he's having a lot of fun doing it. I did not grow any this year. I was really bouncing off the wall with on a whole bunch of things, and I've not handled my garden nearly as well as I should this year. I'm getting back to it now with fall stuff, and noticed yesterday that the Brussels sprouts and broccoli are coming on very well. I planted some old seed that I found of sugar beets. It's one of the greens that I really like. It's something I learned years ago. Sugar beets, you know, which are normally grown for the big, great big old tuber for sugar, have a foliage that looks a lot like Swiss chard, but it's even more delicious than Swiss chard. And I recommend it if you can find some untreated seed, especially. It's kind of hard to do that. Most of the sugar beet seed that's available out there is has been treated, you know, with toxic chemicals, fungicides, and so forth. Mine, I had it in the garage in and out probably through I don't know how many years, and I got very poor germination from it. It wasn't the proper way to keep the seed, for sure. An update. People ask me a lot of my golf buddies and other people that have had injuries and pain and various things. Some of them have had operations. Some of them are thinking about that sort of thing. And some people have had even stem cell treatments using a different kind of stem cell treatment, your own fat tissue, for example, or placenta or something like that. The kind of stem cell treatment I've had on my knee is umbilical cord. It's very special, really, because the cells are able to be identified. They're able to be counted. There's not any contamination. It comes from, you know, newborn healthy babies' umbilical cords, and it's been being saved in hospitals for years. I didn't know that was going on, but it was. In case of some, you know, huge catastrophe, well, they finally got to the point where they had what they thought was plenty in the hospitals storing the umbilical cord stem cells, and they started selling it. Well, this company we got involved with, the Young Vitality Company, an MD out of Florida, is kind of the head guy from the doctor's standpoint, but it's now available across the country from doctors. There are two or three in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but they're then scattered across the country. And it's a treatment that you take, and it's pretty incredible. What specifically I had done was I had torn knee, torn meniscus, and it was getting worse and worse, and we did it and totally healed. So if you're interested in looking into it, and I recommend it if you've got some kind of pain or some kind of problem that you think stem cell therapy might help with, give them a call and get a free consultation. Simple as that. 800-705-6006 goes to the Young Vitality group that we are working with. It's 800-705-6006. Back to the phones. And who is next up? Mike in Roanoke, Texas. Hello, Mike.
Oh, good morning, Dr. Garrett. Certainly a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Thanks for calling.
I've been following you for years here, Howard. And I had a chance to meet you at Redenta's in Arlington a number of years ago when you were just starting all this. And anyway, I'm out here in Roanoke, been here about 15 years now,
okay.
Live in Old Town.
All right.
And I wanted to tell you something kind of quick here. We have I call it a native Texas ash tree in my front yard.
Mm-hmm.
And about, I'd say, 8 or 9 years ago, my wife and I were listening to your show, and you were talking about root flare exposure and this sort of thing. And my wife is a master gardener, and she just really, that's her big deal, too. And anyway, my wife and I were talking about it, and we noticed we had a lot of large clumps of mistletoe in the top of that tree. It's it's the big, massive tree in my front yard. And we saw this, and we were listening to your show one morning. And my wife and I said, well, let's just try that. So my wife went out there and exposed the root flare like you suggested and everything. She did it very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And about a day or two later, my wife and I took like a little trip somewhere, and we came back home and came around the corner and looked at that tree, and all of a sudden, all those clumps of mistletoe had fallen off that tree and were laying below the tree. It looked like a forest of tumbleweeds there. They had all fallen off. We just couldn't believe what had happened. It was a very dramatic thing, and I've been wanting to call and tell you that story for the number of years, and I just finally got around to calling.
Well, I appreciate you calling. You didn't happen to take a photograph of it when it was still laying on the ground, did you?
No, I didn't, but we didn't understand what was going on. I mean, it was that dramatic. It just all fell off.
Sometimes it'll fall out of the tree. Sometimes it just kind of slowly turns brown and shrivels up.
Right.
I'll tell you a similar story. I've got a lacy oak in our front yard at our office, and I planted the thing, and when I planted it, I thought I was planting it plenty high enough. This was probably 10 years ago, 8 years ago, something like that. And then I wanted to show people how to do the exposure of a root flare by hand, and I did a little video of taking a little bit more soil off of the base of this lacy oak. And lo and behold, you know, I took about 8, maybe 10 inches of soil off this tree. Well, the most interesting part of this story was that before I did it, it had galls, or it had little fuzzy galls that were on the foliage and were deforming the foliage all over the tree, fairly heavy on one side of the tree. And I thought, well, you know, it's not any big deal. It's not that heavy. It's just kind of a cosmetic deal. Well, after I did the exposure by hand using the hori-hori knife and my own blower and showing people how to do it, and it's on the video that we just did as a newsletter, the galls have completely vanished. And the new growth is perfectly clean, and there's no sign of those galls anymore at all. So,
well, I totally believe that. Absolutely. Well, Howard, I appreciate your story, sir. And I wanted to give you a call and tell you about this. I've been putting it off, and I was just sitting here doing nothing. And I figured this was a time to let you know about this. As much as you talk about that flare situation, I just wanted to call and let you know just what kind of dramatic experience I had here.
Well, Mike, and I appreciate it. I just wish you'd taken a picture for me. Next time, take a picture.
I know, and we will next time, I promise. And and again, thanks for your time, Dr. Garrett. And we follow you here. My wife and I, we follow you. Been with you for years. We appreciate you, Howard.
The Dirt Doctor appreciates you, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye, sir.
I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. Yeah, it's that dramatic. We're seeing it across the board, too. It's not sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work. It works all the time, and it's amazing. There is one situation where it won't work. If you have planted a tree that's completely ill-adapted to the town you're in, to the soil you're in, to the climate you're in, it doesn't matter what you do. But if it is a tree that can be successful in the spot where you have planted it, the flare exposure is unbelievable, just like he was saying. Let's see what David in Fort Worth is up to. Hey, David.
Good morning.
What's up?
Well, my wife and I have a whole quarter riding on this bet.
A quarter? Okay. Let's see
a
if we
quarter,
can.
A quarter, yeah. she says that it's too late to put out corn gluten meal as a pre-emergent for next year, and I said it's not. Who wins?
Well, you can both win, and here's why. If you're talking about the lawn, the turf, it's too late.
Oh.
Seeds have already germinated, probably. There may be a few still hanging around. If you're talking about a bare soil, new bed, landscaping, herb garden, vegetable garden, it works beautifully to put it out around the transplants and then cover with a mulch. But in the turf, I'm afraid you're a little bit too late. I'm going to put you on hold if you have something else, David. I'm Howard Garrett, and I'll be back right after this.
Regenerative medicine and stem cell therapy is the wave of the future. All the experts agree that stem cells are the future of medicine, your personal health, and even your longevity.
I shattered my elbow, was experiencing chronic pain. Nothing seemed to help. I said yes to stem cell therapy, and now I'm pain-free. Range of motion improved, and I'm able to do things I never could have imagined. I have my life back.
For a complimentary consultation, a $200 value, call now 800-705-6006.
Lava sand is a critical part of the Dirt Doctor's natural organic recommendations for bed prep and general soil improvement, especially for farms and ranches. American Rio is the only high-quality lava product we have seen with significant paramagnetism. Their Maverick Lava Soil Amendment will dramatically improve your soil and increase plant production. It can be delivered directly to you by one-ton tote. Call Sean at 405-426-7752. That's 405-426-7752. Or go to AmericanRio.com.
As we age, our glutathione levels drop dramatically, and that's a big deal because glutathione is our body's master antioxidant, repairing cell damage caused by environmental toxins and aging. RegActive's probiotic strain ME3 is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in the body. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, known for introducing Dr. O'Hara's fantastic probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Dirt Doctor advice, look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com, that's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard back, and we have a couple of lines open if you want to jump on here real quick. 866-444-3478. We're going to go to Libertyville, Illinois now and talk to Christy. Hey, Christy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Dr. Garrett.
Sure.
What I'm calling about is I ordered a tree online. It looked really beautiful. It's got purple flowers. It's called Royal Empress.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read a little more about it, and I read that it was invasive. And so now I'm kind of worried about the tree. What can I expect?
Well, the Empress tree or the Royal Polonia tree that you have is considered to be an invasive tree. It's an introduced tree. It's from Asia, I guess, originally or someplace like that. It is a very unique tree, though. It's grown in orchards for its wood, very high-quality wood, which is unique because it's such a fast-growing tree. You know, most fast-growing trees don't have very good quality wood. So it's actually grown. I've seen some of these places in Mexico and various countries. They grow them in orchards just like, you know, fruit trees and things. But in a landscape, they are invasive to a degree, although I'll tell you the pros and cons of it. We have several here in Dallas. I know where there's half a dozen, I guess. They're pretty big trees. And they flower. They have very dramatic flowers in the spring, and then they produce this incredible mass of seed. And the dispersion of those seed is where the invasiveness comes from, obviously, and they supposedly will pop up all over the place. I've never seen them popping up here in Dallas anywhere. Why that is, I don't have any idea. They don't like our soil enough, or it's too warm for the little seedlings of the tree. The tree itself, when planted, grows fine and does well, but I do not see the invasive nature of it, popping up all over the place here in Dallas.
Huh, interesting.
So it's your call. One thing that you could do until it gets too big is you can cut the seed off of it as the seed develop before they mature, you know, get hard and disperse. But that'd be a lot of trouble.
Okay, yeah, that sounds like a one way to attack the problem.
Do you already have it planted?
No, I just ordered it yesterday, and then I did some more reading about it, and then I thought, oh, maybe I should cancel the order.
Well, it is listed as an invasive species tree. I just never have seen it become that kind of a problem in our area here. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, I guess I could give it a try. How hard is it to get rid of it?
not hard. You could cut it down, and you could use the trunk of it to do some wood carving or do something with, because it really does produce a very beautiful, very dense wood.
I've heard it's kind of expensive, actually.
Yeah, it is. It's grown for its wood.
Okay. Well, thanks for the information.
All right. Let me know what you think. I've got a little bit more information on my website on dirtdoctor.com about it. You might want to check that out.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Appreciate the call. 866-444-3478. Tamara, is that correct?
Yes. Hi again. Hi there, Howard. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on in Carrollton? You know, I lived in Carrollton right out of the Marine Corps when I was working for Brookhaven Country Club out there. So I'm very familiar with Carrollton.
Oh, yeah. You know, the horrible black clay we have here.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty clay.
Well, I've got two questions. The first one is about my Celeste Fig, which I put in the ground about 3 years ago. It's about 6 feet or 7 feet tall now. But about a month or more ago, it started getting shriveled leaves with black spots that looks like some kind of mold. I don't know, fungi or something. And then they shrivel up, and I didn't know if it was just getting ready to drop its leaves for winter or if it's got a problem.
The leaves on my fig trees, I've got two big ones in the backyard, Tamara, they look pretty bad. I mean, they yellow and have spots on them and don't look very healthy. That's just the fall color coming in. That's as good as the fall color gets on a fig. It just gets kind of brown and yellow and spotty, and that's just the weather about to take them down into a dormant state. It's nothing to worry about at all. That being said, figs, just like any tree, like to have their flares exposed. So that's the only thing I'd tell you to look at, and if it's not dramatically exposed, get the soil pulled away from the base of the tree.
Okay, will do. The other question I have mm-hmm. is about a grapefruit tree, which I grew from a seed from a ruby red grapefruit,
mm-hmm.
or maybe it's Texas Sweet. It's one of the red, really dark red ones.
Okay.
And it's done fantastically well. It's over 5 feet tall. And I've had it in the pot, gosh, about 4 or 5 years, but it's never even produced a blossom. I do use Garrett juice on it, and I spray it, and I drench it.
Well, you're doing all you can do if you're keeping it in full sun. Sometimes when you grow a citrus from a seed, you know, it's a crapshoot. You don't know who the parents were, and so you can't be certain of fruit. Let me put you on hold. I'll talk to you off the air. I'm Howard Garrett. I'll be back right after this.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
The Medina Corporation, led by the Stuart Frankie family, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products for a long time. Medina produces quality liquid and dry fertilizers and many soil amendments. Medina Soil Activator stimulates the soil biology and plant roots. And all the Medina products help all season long, whether it's landscaping, grasses, trees, herbs, or vegetables. The Medina products help you spend your money wisely, increasing production while improving the environment. All Medina products are free of toxic chemicals, including the commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus. For the proper care of your lawn and gardens, Medina is the choice. Conveniently available at many hardware, nursery, and feed stores, Medina Natural Organic products are a Dirt Doctor recommendation. 50 years young and still environmentally friendly, it's MedinaAg.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner. Or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All right, that number, and you can jump on here real quick if you want to, at 866-444-3478. I meant to ask my caller from Libertyville, from outside Chicago, something that I've brought up before and I haven't had any luck with it yet. They're one of the great ginkgos in the country, ginkgo trees in the country, is in Oak Park in Chicago. And that's where Frank Lloyd Wright's office and old home is, and a bunch of residential projects that he designed. And I was there a long time ago. It was, I don't know, probably 25 years ago. And at that time, and I'm pretty sure the tree's still there because I just pulled up a news item. I had heard that there was some controversy about the big ginkgo at his office, the fruit on the ground. It's like mine. It's a female. And I think that there was a big, strong push to take the tree down. And it, at the time, was by far the biggest one I had ever seen. It was a huge ginkgo. Looking at his office, it was over to the left, if I remember it correctly. And I can't find a good picture online. And I've been trying to get some of my Chicago listeners, when they – happened to be in Oak Park by there, to get a photograph of that ginkgo. Hopefully it's still there. If not, those of you that are in that area that know about it and can give me a little detail, I'd like to put it into my fabulous Trees of the World talk. If it's not there, let me down gently. It would be a great disappointment. The fruit is a problem. There's no question about it. If you leave the fruit on the ground, what I do is I pick it up pretty much as it falls. I still have fruit falling from mine right now. Fall color, the yellow fall color hadn't even begun to start showing, but mine produces over a period of time. One of the speakers at the Mother Earth News fair that we're going to be speaking at next week in Topeka, Kansas, has a book on backyard foraging, and she's got a chapter in there or a whatever it is on how to treat, how to cook the roast them or whatever you do, the ginkgo seed. That's one thing I've never done. I've got her book, and I still haven't pulled it out and followed her instructions in cooking them, and I'm going to do it right away. In fact, I may do it tonight and pass that information on to you. But if you do have a ginkgo, number one, you may be saying, well, why, goofy landscape guy, didn't you get a male? I did get a male. When the tree was planted 30 years ago, almost 31 years ago, when Logan was born, my daughter and announcer, it was planted and tagged, labeled, certified, you name it, came, you know, planted and guaranteed by a contractor that was doing the work for me at that time as a male ginkgo. Well, about 14 years into it, 12, 14 years, something like that, it started dropping fruit on the ground. There is a theory that some people have, and I don't know if anybody's got any real research to back it up or not in any way, that the ginkgo has the ability to change sex, to change from a male to a female, and maybe the other way around. I don't know how you'd prove it. I don't know if it'd be very tough or not. Mine is definitely different. It turns its yellow fall color later in the season than the other ginkgos in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and it's also outgrown all the other ones in the Dallas-Fort Worth area by double. I think it has to do with two factors. One is being under an organic program since it was planted, and two, I have exposed the flare on it now three times. I planted it probably too low in the first place. This was way before I started understanding root flares and all the base work and the health of trees, and I had just started getting into organics. But from day one, we never used any synthetic fertilizers or any toxic pesticides around the tree, so it's been under an organic program the whole time. And then over the years, I exposed the flare pretty good, well, and then later on, I exposed the flare dramatically, and I have continued to take a little soil off. It's in an area where water from the house can go down the hill and settle around the tree when we have a lot of rains, and so it can very slowly build back up over a period of time. Somebody was asking me on the show not too long ago, do you need to keep exposing the flare? And the answer is no. If you expose a flare of a tree properly, one time is fine, unless there is silting and runoff and water standing and it builds back up. You know, just falling debris and animals kicking stuff around can build it up a little bit over a period of time. So I'm continuing to take it out. My tree will put on anywhere from 12 to 20 inches of new growth a year. Most ginkgo trees that I've ever seen, I hear people talking about ginkgos all the time, other talk shows and people that write about it and so forth, saying that it's the slowest growing tree there is and only grows 1 to 2 inches a year and yada, yada, yada. Well, that's one. You got the two big differences with mine. One, the flare has been dramatically exposed, and two, it's been under a total organic program since it was planted. Why would that make such a difference with a tree? Ginkgos were around when the dinosaurs were roaming around. They've been around forever, and they've been found on every continent. And so, you know, it's a prehistoric tree. So it probably needs this humus, this biological activity in the soil, this mycorrhizal fungus, this natural situation more than any other tree. Being a female, does it grow faster or slower? I don't know. I was noticing a Chinese pistachio. I was talking to Bob Webster about Chinese pistachios on his show actually yesterday, and we were talking about fall color a little bit because we're just now getting into that wonderful time of the year where we have great fall color. And one of the really nice fall color trees is Chinese pistachio or Chinese pistache. But there's a negative about Chinese pistachio. It is now listed on the National Invasive Species list. It comes from China, same part of China where the crepe myrtles and Japanese maples and different things that we use come from. And it's a great tree. I led the charge as a landscape architect for years, telling people to plant this tree. I designed it into every project that I did, and there's a lot of them in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and other cities too that I'm responsible for. Before it became evident that there was a little bit of an issue there, and I'm seeing them pop up here and there. I'm seeing a lot more Chinese pistachios pop up from birds moving the seed around than I am from Royal Polonia or the Empress tree. So, but what I started talking about on that is that the females, which are the ones that produce the berries, of course, and would be a problem, don't grow nearly as big as the males. Why my male ginkgo grow bigger than the males around in my part of town, I don't have any idea. But the pistachios that are female, they get weaker looking foliage late summer. They get off color. They tend to go into their fall color a little bit earlier. I think all the energy is going into the production of those seed, and that's what causes the problem. If you want to plant a Chinese pistachio, if you've never heard me say this, the red seed that are produced are not viable. It's the ones that go from red and turn blue, a dark blue. Those are the ones that are viable. Let's talk to Lynn in Millsboro, Delaware. Hello, Lynn.
Hi, how are you, Howard?
Doing great. What can I do for you?
Okay. I did an application of Stay Green fertilizer, weed and feed. 29-0 and 4 are the numbers on the front.
Okay.
I applied it about a week and a day ago, and I've got huge bare spots.
When did you start listening to me, Lynn? When did you start?
I didn't, just recently.
Because that's nothing that I would ever recommend anybody buy or put out on their property. And that's okay. One of the reasons for it. Weed and feed fertilizers are the herbicide part of it and the fertilizer part of it are not designed to go out at the same time. So how in the world can you put them together in the same product? I'm not picking on you. I mean, if you haven't heard this, it's something that you need to get into. 29-0-4 is obviously what's called a high nitrogen fertilizer. I never recommend a fertilizer with that much nitrogen in it. You're force feeding the plants. So I don't like the analysis. I don't like the toxic herbicide that's in it. You need to look for, and this will help mitigate the damage that's been done by this one. Look for the product called Espoma. It'll be in your area in the stores, probably easier than any of the other organic fertilizers that I recommend. And put out one of the Espoma organic fertilizers and stick with it as you do the program that I recommend, which, by the way, is explained in detail on my website, dirtdoctor.com. You go to the homepage, and right there on the homepage, there's a bunch of words. All those words that are under the photograph are buttons. And the one that says guides in capital letters, punch it.
Yes,
and under it is all my entire organic program. The formulas for making Garrett juice and the sick tree treatment and the tree trunk goop and all that stuff is right there for you to access.
That's pretty amazing. Well, I appreciate the information, but I can't understand why it's out there and why they're telling you to do it now.
Well, it's just the chemical program is still being taught in the universities. That's why we did our own line university ourselves, our own line school. That's exactly why we did it. And it's because of a bunch of things. It's a paradigm problem. It's what's being been taught. And so, you know, what you learned is what you continue to push and teach and go on with. And the other thing is the research grant money comes from the Monsantos, the Scotts, the Bayers, you know, the chemical companies that make those products. Let me put you on hold if you had something else, but we just need to get you on board, and we welcome you on board. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Espoma Organic Garden Tone is a great product. It's specifically blended for organic vegetable gardens. Its all-natural formula contains Biotone, a blend of organic ingredients that supply major nutrients and trace minerals for a strong, healthy soil and mouth-watering vegetables. Of course, these products are safe for people and pets. You can visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. These products are sold all across the country. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com. Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer, or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Dirtdoctor.com is where you go to get information when I'm not around. I'll be back next week for you, and you can send us questions to info@dirtdoctor.com. We get a lot of questions, and the people that are members of the Organic Club of America certainly get the first priority, but we try to get to everybody with some kind of answer as much as we possibly can. So thanks for being part of what's going on. Had great calls today, and here's somebody in Chicago that may have some help for me. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Howard, I'm from Fort Worth, but I went to Chicago last week.
Oh, okay, great.
The ginkgo tree is alive and well.
Well, that's good news. Didn't get any pictures by any chance, did you?
I got a couple in my phone. I'll be glad to send them to you. I don't know how good they are.
All right. I'd love to see it, and I want to try to get some better ones. It's probably about to go into yellow fall color if it hadn't already.
A few of the leaves had. It was still pretty warm up there for some reason.
Yeah.
But, yeah, in fact, the guide pointed it out.
Oh, that's great. Did you go through Wright's old office there?
Oh, yeah. Went through the house, went through the office.
That's a really neat thing to see.
You know, my wife wanted to go see it, and I'm like, I don't know. But I really, really enjoyed it. It was really – I recommend it.
Oh, yeah, I do too. That whole area is really beautiful. If you haven't seen Falling Water in Pittsburgh, outside Pittsburgh, that's the next thing to do if you're into Frank Lloyd Wright. That house is just amazing.
Yeah, they talked about that. One of the people on the tour had seen it, and she said, well, that's a perfect example.
Well, thanks for giving me the update on it. How wide would you say the trunk is, the trunk diameter of the tree currently?
Oh, gosh. I could maybe get my arms halfway around it, and I'm 5'8".
Okay, so it's not gigantic, but it's still a pretty big ginkgo.
It's pretty impressive when you're standing right there by it, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well, Ken, thanks a bunch. I appreciate it, man.
Sure.
Talk to you later.
Thank you, Howard.
All right. Let's see what Steve's up to. DeSoto, Texas. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Howard. How are you today?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
I was out in the backyard looking around, and I was looking at my Japanese maple tree, and it's got all these blooms coming out on all the ends of the stems.
Blooms?
Yes, sir.
Huh.
Big clusters of red and yellow blooms, or beige.
Wow.
It's got one, two, three of them on this little Japanese maple.
Can you take some pictures with your phone and send those to me?
Yes, sir, I sure can.
You got something weird going on there,
Steve. I've never seen it.
No, I haven't either. There is what's called, in fact, we've done a newsletter called fasciation, where sometimes the tissue of a plant just changes form, and it looks like a cancer or a deformity or some kind, but a lot of people like it, those fascinations, and there may be some version of a fasciation going on there.
This looks like a cluster of blooms, like on the end of a bougainvillea.
That is really, really strange. Send me a photograph and let's see if we can figure out what's going on.
info@dirtdoctor.com.
Uh-huh.
I'll do that right now.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you for taking my calls.
Okay. We're on the case on that to see what's going on there. One of the plants that I recommend that you may not have heard me talk about is called Parodia or Persian ironwood. And it's got just fascinating flowers on it that are a little bit like what he's saying there. They're little red clusters that are on the tips of the growth of the tallest limbs. I didn't even know my Parodia had flowers because the top of it's way up and kind of mixing in with the ginkgo. It's got really big. And I saw the flowers on the ground is the only reason I even knew they were there. But that's one that will grow pretty much anywhere in the United States, kind of like the Japanese maples, if you haven't tried it yet. Parodia or Persian ironwood, beautiful, beautiful fall color. Mine's yellow. Some of the Parodia have red fall color. In fact, I've got a small one I'm growing. I got from Stephen F. Austin from David Creech, and I'm looking forward to putting it in a place where it can become a real feature. Here's John in Arlington. Hey, John.
I have a question up there about fig trees. Mm-hmm. I have a Celeste tree, and I was wondering about how to keep the roots and everything from freezing.
In Arlington, Texas, or where are you?
Yes, in Arlington, Texas.
Huh? Okay, you don't need to worry about it at all here, John. Just use the overall organic program. Have some mulch on the soil if there's any bare soil around the plant. But don't pile it up on the stem. Up in the north, people would have to cover it completely up. But here, we just do the normal treatment. It's totally hardy here in our area.
Okay, I'll get some mulch for it. And nematodes, if I put, say, for instance, I put
the beneficial nematodes out, what you're trying to control?
Yes, what would I put around there to keep them out?
To keep them alive? Nothing. They're native, and they are very hardy here and not any risk to freezing at all. And if there's enough moisture in the soil for the plants to be alive, there's plenty of moisture for the beneficial nematodes. So if you have a pest that you need to take care of, beneficial nematodes are the way to go. Well, I've got to go. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I've really enjoyed being with you today. Great calls and some good tips and information. DirtDoctor.com for the rest of the week while I'm not around. And we'll see hopefully a lot of you in Topeka, Kansas next weekend. Until I see you again, go organic and enjoy those healthy gardens.